Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. My favorite time every Saturday. I just love this hour. I hope more and more of you get the show. Get the theme of the show, and that is dig a little deeper, because the rewards will be yours. Holistic medicine. I began 25 years ago. I've studied everything under the sun. I'll be in school, well, maybe forever, because I love it, and I love teaching it, and I love sharing it, and I love watching people heal. The mechanisms God put there, we should be extrapolating from into a whole new science. And that's my goal, and that's why I do this show. This is 5 years now, 270 hours. I have people from all over the world studying this show. I have many doctors studying the show, and there's a good reason for it. If you put yourself to it, it works. But the issue is you got to put education on the A-list. That's the thing. It's not just about going blindly through the supplements and the therapies and doing what the doctor says. It's about looking at it like you're in school. You're in school. And if you're new to the show, that's what makes this show different. You're in school. Now, this isn't a new concept, but it's something that we've got to attune ourselves to a little bit more comfortably and a little bit more deeply. And I'll give you an example. Today's show. Why emotions create disease. Now, I'm going to make that statement. Emotions create disease. There's nobody in my audience right now that's news to. Everyone in my audience is sitting, yeah, emotions create disease. Great. But when the rubber meets the road, when you have a tumor, when you find out you have a disease, when you find out you need a surgery, when you blow out a joint, when you can't go to the bathroom, do you think this is because of your emotions? Now, those are two different statements, and that's my point. Do emotions create disease? Well, of course they do. Everybody knows emotions create disease. But what does that have to do with the appointment you just had at Kaiser? There's no hookup. Holistic medicine is for coffee table talk. But when it comes down to it, does it stick to your ribs? Now, what's the difference? How many people I know are complete devotees, advocates of holistic medicine, but when it hits the fan, they're on the operation table. They're on the meds. One little scare, one little conversation with the other side, and it all falls apart. And why is that? It is that way because it never really attached in the first place. So let's attach it more deeply today. If you've been on drugs and you're trying to get off drugs, you know, if you've been on Prozac for 5 years, 4 years, some of you, if you've been on Prozac for a year, it doesn't matter. The SSRIs, the opiate derivatives, what that has done to your neurochemistry is inestimable. Inestimable. We don't know. And like some of the articles today, I'm going to turn you on to. So if you're new to the show, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, listen to the show and then do what others don't do or what you must do. Go home and get on the website again and start looking at the pictures. I put them there because you can learn from them in ways you can't learn on radio. You can't learn on YouTube. You can't learn anywhere. This is a seminar on wheels. That's what you get each hour. So get to the website when you can. All right, why emotions create disease, the topic for today. First and foremost, you must understand the work of Candace Pert. So take a look at Candace Pert. Don't click the YouTube on. I think maybe we'll do that. You'll do that on your own. I don't know. Take a look at Candace Pert, that lovely face, 1972. Her under Solomon Schneider, as she's a doctoral student, begins speculating that there are opiate receptors in the brain. Why? Well, we knew heroin worked. That's why. We've been doing heroin long before we had science. And the bottom line is, we knew that if heroin worked, it was connecting somewhere. I mean, speculatively, but we proved it, up in the brain. Now, where does heroin connect? We knew heroin was an opiate, or we knew heroin was binding to the brain. Well, when they found out where, and of course we knew what heroin did, we said, gee, there are opiate receptors in the brain. Well, that was the opener. You see, but that what that evolved to is that your body makes its own endorphins and cephalins and dynorphins. It makes its own neuropeptide trail. And what you must understand, what we don't understand, not functionally, and again, let me create the differentiation here that begins on this show for you. We can all talk about neuropeptides. We can all talk about opiates. What does that have to do with it, though, when you're in the trenches and you need it? And that's the point. You have to make this stuff functional in your being. So it's got to go beyond the groovy little shows we see on TV or the documentaries or the movies or the whatever. It's got to go beyond the coffee table and into the pragmatics of everyday life. And this is the problem. It's not there because it's not attaching deeply enough. So get this deep. When Pert in the 70s figured this out along with a few others, it was big. It basically said that we now understand that the body needs to get high, and in the absence of getting high endogenously on its own, you're not going to feel happy. And then, of course, we isolated a whole bunch of other neurotransmitters now, not neuropeptides, neurotransmitters. we started talking in terms of the serotonin and the dopamine, so on and so forth. And lo and behold, this whole budding arena of neurochemistry opened up, and then we iced the cake. Pharmacology got a hold of all of this and developed Prozac. And that took it off into a whole other direction. By the upper 80s and early 90s, it was very common to go to your shrink, talk to him for 10 minutes, pay the consult, and now you're on the drugs. And this is what we're doing today. Everybody's medicated. I do a lot of stuff in the Hollywood community. One out of every four of those people are medicated. They're medicated because if you look at their lives, okay, they are under stress, beyond stress, beyond stress, beyond stress. It's incredible. And that's just not Hollywood. I'm not singling out Hollywood. It's everybody's under stress, and we're getting more and more and more of it. And it's fizzling our receptor sites. It's screwing up our neurochemistry horridly. And of course, we've got the pink pill, the soma. We've got the answer. Now, if you've ever made that mistake, gone down that blind alley, you have to understand the ramifications. When you're at the point where you want to get off these things, it's tough. It's very, very tough to do. If you haven't done those things, what you have to understand is every single day, and this is what Pert's work proved, every single day, your body is throwing around some level of neuropeptides, of what we call opiates, dynorphin, endorphin, enkephalin, and they're looking to bind to receptor sites. Now, here's the big news. Those opiates are looking to bind to receptor sites in your organs. Now, that's big. Organs. Organs are sitting there. The heart, the lung, the brain. The heart you have a symptom in or a disease in. The pancreas that you may have a tumor in. The liver that you may have a problem in. Your lungs. Your bones. Your muscles. Your bone marrow. Your eyeballs. Your ears. Your testicles. Your ovaries. Are all sitting there looking to bind opiates. That's big. That is just absolutely so big. Why? Because in the absence of that process, those organs don't know how to organize their biochemistry. So we can understand health as simply a matter of having a pain, not knowing where your organ is or what it's about, going to some form of a doctor, holistic or otherwise, being told this is what you need to do. Oh, okay. And then going off and doing it and praying that the pain will go away. It doesn't work this way. A model that you might apply here today is that organ is suffering because its receptor sites, the sites in that organ that are looking to bind the opiates, are either not binding the opiates or they're not receiving the opiates. In their receptor sites are non-opiate-like substances, perhaps not the molecules of emotion, the molecules of bad emotion, the fear, the hate, the anger, the frustration, the pain. Either they sit in those receptor sites and block the opiates, or they block the production of the opiates. Who knows the answer to that one? Stay tuned for part two. But this is a very big deal. And functionally, even if we don't have this mechanism worked out to the T, what we know we can do is alter your opiate production. You can alter the amount of opiate you produce. God gave us many, 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 many tools to do so. Personally, I don't see most of them working. Why? I don't think most people learn this. Now, if you say something like yoga, and if you say something like cleansing, and if you say something like God, and if you say something like breath work, and if you say something like whatever you say that's supposed to produce these states of bliss, and you watch people work with it, there's a disjunct between the theoretical claim and the reality. And of course, this disjunct is taken to science. Yes, we can go to the National Institute of Health and create some sort of a model, some framework through which we can measure the efficacy or the authenticity of that claim. That emotions create disease, and we can do something about it through different tools designed to create the opiate experience. Yes, you can get money for that. But the problem is, we don't understand the process. And that's my point. There's a disjunct between what we claim to understand about creating a higher endorphin experience. And this is where holistic medicine has to fill the gap. This is what we must do. We will not be here sooner than later if we don't. We truly will not. The power's coming down in classic, classic strict conservative science. The powers that are deriving in terms of the therapies you will be subjected to over the next 20 years will be breathtaking in their scope, awesome in their effect, and they will smother alternative medicine. When you start having your organs ripped out and replaced with your own organs cloned and put back in, you're going to see this next leap. And this is the history of science as conservative science. The reason alternative medicine is fringe is it never competed well enough with what Kaiser Permanente offers. That's why. It hasn't competed effectively enough with surgery. And there's reasons for that. And one reason is it hasn't evolved with the same type of efficiency. Now, allopathy is going to evolve again. It's evolving now. It's moving away from antibiotics, and it's moving away from classic surgical techniques. It's getting into some very high-end stuff. The genetic engineering and its ramifications coming down the pipe over the next 50 years are going to blow your mind. Personally, I love that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, it's going to leave a gaping hole in another arena. And that gaping hole is what alternative medicine is supposed to bridge the gap to. Now, Pert actually became one of the leading advocates of holistic medicine. I talk about Pissinger's book on the extracellular matrix all the time. If you check that out on some of my past shows, anytime I mention fibrin, I talk about Pissinger's work, and I do it because Pissinger, he he laid the groundwork for holistic medicine. It's a book that says, don't talk about regenerating a cell unless you clear the fibrin out from the extracellular space. Don't even talk about it. If you don't have a concept of it, go home. That's good German work. That's what the Germans do. They get essences, extrapolate, mix it with a little mysticism, and get it down with enough science behind it to make it functional. This is what they do. They're great at it. It's why what we call holistic medicine in this country started in Germany. And still, I believe Germany probably in many, many cases still takes the lead as far as knowing where to research and what to do. But you see, Pert took it to another level. This was America. Pert took it to another level. There's a reason I put this YouTube on with Bill Moyers. Now, on your own, go into that YouTube, and I want you to listen to the part of it where she starts talking about this deal that Descartes made with the Vatican and how science and spirituality began to split from each other. And the reason Pert is in there talking about this is because she's saying it's what screwed up energetic medicine. The energetic models of the body died once this split occurred. We have to bring it together again, which means when you go to the hospital and you get your diagnosis, when you get your physical and you get your diagnosis and it's serious, you have to look at your emotional being. And if you're not doing that, then you're not doing what I just suggested. What you're doing otherwise is simply nodding one's head happily, even complacently, because this stuff all sounds good and because it's nice talk for parties. But where it's got to stick is when you go to your doctor. And if you can take that in, well, then you'll take a leap because you'll start to make it functional. You look at the video later. You do that on your own. What I'm going to do is bring you to a couple of these articles here. First of all, look at the first one there. Neuropeptides are opiates. When we say neuropeptide, we mean opiate. This is a great article. It summarizes it so beautifully. Neuropeptides, unlocking the secrets of the brain. If you're driving, of course, you can't look at this. Do it when you get home. But just listen along. You'll be able to garner more than enough out of this. All right. Page one, look at what I put here. I captioned it off for you. I said the high. According to some scientists and most reporters, endorphins were clearly the next big thing in the neurosciences, maybe even the last big thing. And the imaginations of headline writers across the country lit up like major league scoreboards on the 4th of July as they scrambled to encode news reports in hyperbole. Not bad. That's what happened when all this opiate stuff came down the pipe. And look at the low. This is what happened shortly thereafter. The euphoria didn't last, and then look at where I parentheses. And when the scientists who started all the buzzing announced they were settling down for a few decades to research into the nuts and bolts of why the compounds worked and how they were going to make everybody feel better, the entire phenomenon seemed to die an unmourned immediate death. And that is exactly what happened. And that is exactly why I'm sending this show today your way. Because it was the buzz, and then the scientists took to studying it, found out it was so enormously complex. To the parameters of science, it is astoundingly complex. And that's the problem. I want you to get this. If you are listening now, listen hard. I want you to understand that this is what happens in science all the time. It comes to something phenomenal. It goes into the labs, and to fit the strict paradigms of the scientific method and to fit the strict confines of controlled studies, to translate it into a functional standard of care is 500 more years. This is the problem with science. I want you to get this. You don't get this. You must get this. This is the problem with science. Science, which is in such a divine position to bring us to insights like this, to start to make these esoteric conversations real, takes it to what we call research. And once it's in research, it dies there. There are so many cures today that because they have not been researched thoroughly and set to a standard of care, you don't ever get to hear about. And that will never change. It will never change until the scientific method begins to change. The scientific method needs to be challenged. It needs to be balanced out. The schism that occurred with Descartes and the Vatican needs to be mended. Because the ramification of it, I just described to you in significant enough detail. Now do that. Do that for yourself. Take the leap in your experience as we progress in the show today to the understanding that right now, half the answers to everything you suffer from is in your emotional being. And that emotional being is materialized in the form of the opiate versus what's there for lack of the opiate. And in that balance of trade lies your health. The cell is not given the higher intelligence to recombine genetically and otherwise the way it needs to in the absence of the opiate high. Now, who understood this? Who do you think has understood this long before we had labs and brick buildings? The Vedics and anybody. Anybody understood this in the world history that understood medicine. You can go all the way back to Greece, to Rome, to Egypt, to India, to China, to South America, to North America, to the Eskimo, to the American Indian, so on and so forth. And in some way, shape, or form, they're always saying this. But of course, it's shrouded in mystery and shamanism and the occult and the rest of it. And on that basis, many of the Western minds have displaced that, sometimes for very good reason, with what we call science. But that science has become myopic. And here's our example. And the scientists who started all the buzzing, you see Pert, who unfortunately is not here today, died. She had a massive heart attack a few years ago. We lost Nick Gonzalez to a massive heart attack. We lost Candace Pert to a massive heart attack. It's not conspiratorial. As a doctor, I will tell you what their heart attack came from. Their heart attack came from the disappointment at not being able to translate what they understood into a large enough, coherent enough, functional reality for people who are lining up each day uselessly and futilely around the block taking nonsense medications because they don't understand exactly what Pert died trying to explain to us a few years ago. So bottom line, you're seeing a wonderful example of where science fails us and how you can bridge the gap. That means ask yourself about your emotional being and understand that half the time you say, you know, the number one answer, the favorite answer of people is, I'm not stressed. I don't have emotional stuff. I don't deal with these things. You're lying to yourself. But you can't say that it's not politically correct. So I didn't say that. I didn't say you're lying. I said you're numb. You've become so comfortably numb. And comfortably numb is where most people live. They live in the rat race of trying to pay their rent and get their chores done. And in their spare time, they numb themselves out to the fact that they're being treated like rats. And that's predominantly the way I would say the majority of people in Los Angeles live. And so, of course, you numb yourself out. You numb yourself because you have to get up in the morning and do your job and do your thing. And that numbness is exactly what resists the opiate experience. Now, any of you that have taken steps along the way to come to life, to cleanse, to stretch, to do so on and so forth, to come to life, you are going to feel your pain. You have to feel your pain. There's no way around that. out of nowhere, you're going to feel your pain because you're no longer comfortably numb. And if you've had birth trauma, and if your traumas have been extreme, and if they go back a long time ago, you may need supervision to do that. Or you can take the pink pill. You can take the Prozac, you can take the Wellbutrin, you can take the Celexa, you can smoke the dope, you can do ayahuasca, whatever you want to do to numb yourself out or to think that you're going on some journey you're probably not going on. I'll retract that in part. I don't want to insult the people that do ayahuasca. I'm not into that stuff. But nonetheless, other cultures, which I have to respect, use certain hallucinogens, certain plants to evolve themselves. So I'm going to take ayahuasca off that list. But pot and alcohol and these stimulants and the SSRIs and the opiates and all the things we do to distract ourselves, the aholic syndrome, workaholic, sexaholic, alcoholic, drug addict. And now we have, of course, the number one way to numb ourselves out. It's called the computer. You want to see where the beast lives? Just get on the internet one night and keep surfing until hours have passed and you don't know where you are. Oh, sorry. Another politically incorrect statement. Sorry, Steve Jobs. But you got the point. You have to have the point. As wonderful as computers are, there is an enlarged segment of the population who have computeritis. You're on the computer all the time. You're numbing yourself out. So you're not going to feel your opiate deficiency. You've got to clean it out to open it up. To feel the emotion. That's step one. You won't understand what Pert is saying. You won't understand what the neuropeptides or opiate thing is all about. Now, we can understand this from the neck up. Understanding it from the neck up, you can gladly do. But when we start to go to opiates in the peripheral organs, peek at this other article here, opiates in peripheral organs. Now, take a look at that. Great article, hard science, heavily medical, the kind of stuff I love, and the kind of stuff we should be extrapolating out of. We ought to be extrapolating out of that. Because what we have to realize, of course, is that opiates are in peripheral organs. Now, of course, who understood this? Well, many, many, many centuries ago, there was a medicine that understood this. And they understood it to the point where gladly and easily, if you go down to page 4, if it takes a while to open on your computer, if you can get there, if you're just listening in the car right now, just listen. Go to page 4. I put big boldface numbers up in the upper right hand. Go to page 4, how emotions cause disease. I put it in parentheses. Read the article on your own later on. But opiate receptors exist not only in the nervous system, meaning brain and spinal cord, but also in peripheral organs. That's big. Who wrote this article? Okay. Yale University School of Medicine. Another one in China, the University of Texas Medical School in Houston, National Institute of Environmental Health Science in Triangle Park, North Carolina, another medical university in China. You got 5 big names. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've got 2, 4, 6. You've got 6 big researchers. You've got, I'm sure, a significant grant from the National Institute of Health. This is not a hocus-pocus nutritional article. This is not something that science can afford to challenge. And this is where you should start, because this is where science can serve you. But you see, it's articles like this now that take 500 years to come out on the other end. And of course, that's my point. I won't get into it again. Now, go down to page 4. Look at this on page 4. Opioid receptors exist not only in the nervous system, but also in peripheral organs. Heart, lungs, liver, gastrointestinal, large and small intestine, ovaries, testes, uterus, uterus and ovaries, reproductive tracts. However, the expression and distribution of these receptors vary significantly among different organs as well as among different animal species. They know the key sentence, the key word in that sentence, vary. You bet, gentlemen, vary significantly. What are we doing? You there. Yes, I'm talking to you with the heart problem, and you with the emphysema, and you with the liver dysfunction, and you with the IBS, and you with the ulcerative colitis, and you with the ovarian issues. Yes, you. Question. What is your opiate experience each day in your organ? You see? That's the question. Extrapolating out of this, empirically backed, is the suggestion, evidenced by long-term traditional cultures, Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine now, I'll cite specifically, is the understanding that these opiates are to be experienced in the organ itself, the heart, the lung, the spleen, the brain, etc. You're supposed to feel it there. And if you're not feeling it there, you're going to have a disjunct physiology. What all the chemists in all the worlds, in all the places, in all the cities, in all the pharmacology institutes are trying to do is sidestep what I just said and give you a drug. When the question is, and what we should acknowledge from this article is that your ability to do this varies significantly among different organs, as well as among different animal species. Keep going with that, gentlemen. As well as different types of people. And do you know what distinguishes those different types of people? Their consciousness. Consciousness. Your inherent connection to your opioid system is your consciousness. And consciousnesses vary. Of course it varies. All the sins that have been committed from the beginning of time were committed by people of a very low consciousness. I don't want to get into the horrors of the last 100 years, but when you sit there and say to yourself, how could I have ever have done that? And you know in your heart you wouldn't. You wouldn't be sitting on $50 billion in your bank account and be ripping up the Amazon. You wouldn't be sitting on $50 billion in your bank account and be giving people drugs that just make them sicker than they are. You wouldn't have supported slavery. You wouldn't have supported all the things we've supported socially over the last 200 years that are now looked back in retrospect as horrors. No, you wouldn't. And you're correct. You wouldn't, because you possess enough consciousness. You see, alternative medicine is for people who have consciousness. And where you fumble each day is in dialogue with people who are of a more limited consciousness. But let's take this down to the science. Let's talk about very significantly among different organs as well as among different animal species. Well, I want you to consider that what we call Homo sapien ain't Homo sapien. That there may be many subspecies within the word Homo sapien. And yes, this is what the forensic anthropology is teaching us today, but we won't get into that one. That'll really blow the lid off. Well, don't do you ever sit there and wonder how some of the people who do some of the things in the world can call themselves human? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever really looked at some of the agendas people have paraded over the last 100 years and asked yourself, how could another human being do this? Well, I'm going to submit to you that they ought to extend that statement. That what we call our neurochemistry varies within the potential of Homo sapien. Consciousness varies. Consciousness is on a spectrum. Opiate abilities are on a spectrum. The amount of receptor sites in your organs are on a spectrum. And you sitting there, you in drug detox, you who seek hallucinogens, who seek all sorts of things to get yourself out of this low existence, maybe it's because you have more receptor sites. Maybe it's because you were born to fly higher. And maybe for many people, their disease is just a message from their soul that they need to learn to fly higher. And that the complications of their illness are meaningless next to that. That there's a chemistry in the cell far beyond anything we understand. When you secrete enough dynorphin, when you secrete enough enkephalin, when you can secrete enough of the opiates, the limitations of biochemistry, as praised by the highest minds of science, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Princeton, Georgetown, etc., are meaningless. Perhaps that is what Jesus was saying. Perhaps that is what Buddha was saying. Perhaps that is what all the avatars have said. Not that Jesus was an avatar. Personal opinion, Jesus was God. But that's personal. You can look at it any way you want. Any spiritual force that has ever come here may well be saying that the material plane next to the biochemical plane is supreme. I like that. That sounds good. I'm going to repeat that to my friends. I want you to take it to your medical doctor. When he tells you your misery, your depression, your anger, your rage, when brought to him, when your retina detaches because you're seething in anger. Oh, no, not me. Yeah, the anger inside you, you can't feel because you're numb. I want you to take these concepts out there and extend them. I want you to put them into the consciousness of others. I want you to throw it out there and then let it go. Then you'll understand the nature of us. All right, now look at this. Picture 4, page 4. We're on that article. I hope you've gotten to that article. If you haven't gotten to that article, don't worry. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's. Straighttalk.cc. Get to that website. If you were driving and listening on the radio, get to that website. Expand yourself. Page 4, major opiate receptor family. Look at this. Opiate receptor subtypes. I'm scrolling. Advances in research on opioid receptor functions. Watch this. This is on the bottom now of page 5 of this article. Ionic homeostasis. Do you know what that means? Mineral balance inside and out of the cell. Look at the second function. Cell proliferation. Cell proliferation. You there with emphysema. You there with pancreatitis. You there with cirrhosis. You're being told that your organs cannot regenerate. And we're being told here in hard science that opioids enhance cell proliferation. Think about it. Neuroprojection. You there with multiple sclerosis, dissolving the myelin sheaths of your nerves. Consider that the neuroprotection you seek is greatly related and directly proportional to the amount of opiates you make. Hibernation. Pain modulation. Keep scrolling. Drug abuse and addiction. Emotional response, epileptic seizures, immune function, feeding, obesity, respiratory control, cardiovascular regulation, role in neurodegenerative and other diseases. This is hard science. This is 5 medical universities. This stuff is as tight as it gets. But what's it mean if you have multiple sclerosis? If you have multiple sclerosis and you clench, you better take a look at that. If you've got heart disease and your heart's been broken, if you've got emphysema, don't overlook the grief. Don't overlook the fact that perhaps you haven't taken a deep breath into your lungs since the day you were born, and so on and so forth. And that's where this stuff begins to count. Now, a clincher for you to absorb. Understanding this many years ago, centuries ago, before we were supposedly scientific. And there's another one. If you have any belief in that, please check that. But thousands of years ago, supposedly, before we had science, we understood that emotions cause disease. And we came together to figure out how to measure quantitatively, qualitatively, to measure that progression, to measure that progression away from disease and into health. And we came up with a five-letter word called prana. We came up with a three-letter word called chi. We came up with many different words in many different cultures. And that's the point. The opiate experience and the chi experience and the pranic experience are exactly the same thing. And if you watch people having pranic experiences and chi experiences, you can see that something nothing short of an opiate experience is occurring. Now, we can go in there and measure all the chemicals. We can measure the serotonin, we can measure the dopamine, we can measure the DMT, and we can write books on these chemicals. But the bottom line is we have a functional mechanism at work already. It's open the meridian. It's open the meridian. It's make the chi flow. And don't be pretentious, complacent, ignorant, innocent, uninformed, hostile about what that means. Understand what it means. This is where holistic medicine must take the upgrade. Without it, it will fail. We're just riding on the back the last 30, 40 years. You other doctors out there listening to the show right now, you are riding, we are riding on the back of the failure of allopathy in a progressively destructive world. In other words, the ecosystem failing us is going to produce the most horrid diseases we have ever seen. As the ecosystem dwindles and as allopathy fails, holistic medicine will be given a glance, but it needs more foundation. You have to go to the base of it to really be given the foundation. So yes, the chi experience. It's not surprising that Pert, Candace Pert, who exalted this entire process, who was one of the big names over the years to really put holistic medicine on a biological basis, like Pissinger did. Pissinger was saying the extracellular matrix. He was basically saying you're not going to have the opiate experience when your extracellular matrix is just sopping like a dirty, filthy swamp in fibrin. If that collagenous gel of gook in between the cells hit a certain thickness of certain viscosity, forget about the chi experience. That is what his book comes down to. Pert picked up where he left off and basically said, once done, that experience is producing chemical changes in the cell through the opiate, endorphin and enkephalin and dynorphin, that we are just beginning to understand. You have it right there. You want to talk stem cells? We just did. Now, we've been given the mechanisms to do this. We've been given the mechanisms. So if you go to the pictures, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Listen to this show today. When you get home, get on the website. Go down to the bottom of my pictures. And I want you to look at this all important system here. Look at picture 13. Picture 13. Picture 13, those are the ventricles of the brain. Yes, you've seen them before. Well, look at them again. Picture 13, the ventricle system of the brain. As the opiates vary, as the viability of the receptor sites in each and every organ vary, so varies the pulse of the ventricular system. It's pumping, and it's pumping frequency. the amount of pumps per unit second, the intensity of the pump to unit second. Those parameters will vary depending on your ability to access the cranial system. The cranial system, the dural system, the deeper systems of the body are directly proportional to the frequencies in the ventricle. Now, those frequencies in the ventricle, I cite them for an important reason. Because if you go to picture 15, that green thing there, the pineal gland, its single most influential factor is the tip of the third ventricle. The tip of the third ventricle tintillates the pineal gland. The frequency of the third ventricle shakes the pineal gland. And that little pineal gland is situated in between the superior colliculus. So if you're driving, up deep in your brain is this little pencil tip. And when that pencil tip vibrates between two pillows that sit very close to this pencil tip, in between, inside your brain, when you can bring that vibration to a sufficient frequency, you will begin to release different levels of chemical from the pineal gland. You will access other dynamics within that gland. Oh, yes, of course. We need to suggest, we need to test this statement to double-blind placebo studies. Yeah, and who's going to give us any money to do this? No one's going to pay you to prove what I just said. You have to prove it empirically. You have to do it. You have to change frequencies in people. You have to see their heads morph. You have to see the chi flow. You have to read books that didn't respect double-blind placebo studies. You have to respect cultures who respected scientific paradigms that were empiric. Empiric means this. Empiric means we do it. We've done it 1,000 times. And every time we do it, the same thing happens. And when we don't do it, that same thing doesn't happen. And therefore, trust us, we're not kidding. That's what empiric means. I would trust a good empiricist to the best science in Harvard. Why? Because science in the annals of science is speculative. It makes mistakes because it's not as reproducible as you think. They make it happen in a couple of tests. It passes scrutiny, and then it's out there. And then later on, they go, oops, there have been many more mistakes made in the standard mode of the scientific method than in good empiricism. And I mean good empiricism. It's like the engineer and the physicist. The physicist theorizes, does his testing in the four walls, and then the engineer has to go out and make it work. Listen to the engineers, not the physicists. You see, the guys that build the house, they'll tell you what the reality of the material is. And it's the same thing with empiricism. Empirically, we have understood for many, many years that you can alter the frequencies within the ventricular system. And as you do it through breath, through the true yoga, through becoming ordinately pranic, those frequencies are going to change the chemistry of the pineal gland. And there is a chemical in there called DMT, dimethyltryptamine. And sooner or later, somebody's going to develop a technology or some new lab test, and we're going to have another revolution in DMT above the revolution we already had. And we're going to find out that research today now shows that DMT accounts for more of the cell's respiration than we once understood. And then in another 500 years, we'll get a little more insight. And that is the way it works. My beckon to you is don't wait. Don't wait. This stuff works. It's true. And all you have to do is open yourself to experience and understand that that's effectively what holistic medicine is. When we say emotions create disease and you say, not me, it must be a toxin. I don't have that emotional stuff. What you're basically saying is you're numb. And you have to consider that. And you have to consider along the way. And I know many of you know what I'm talking about, because many of you have gone down the pipe to the point where you start feeling yourself do that. Do that, because on the other side of that is what you came here to do. On the other side of that is your pleasure. On the other side of that is when your neurochemistry starts to change and the pineal et al. Start getting more involved in what your cell calls its reality each and every day. All right, let's kick back and take a look at some of the pictures. Okay, let's take a look at some of the pictures. Look at picture number seven. If you're driving now, just imagine you're looking at a cell membrane and two receptor sites. One receptor site is for natural endorphin, the stuff we make, and the other one is for morphine. And it's basically the same receptor site. And before we found the endorphin, guess what? We found the receptor site for the morphine or the heroin. And then we said, well, what are they doing in the body? We know they're in the body. What are they doing there? And lo and behold, endorphins and cephalins, dynorphins and binding sites, and the whole thing blew out. You can read about that in those two articles I put. Now, of course, when you use morphine, what happens to the little factories in your body that make your own endorphins? Well, those factories shut down because you're being synthetically modified. And a whole bunch of modulation occurs. Stuff you don't even understand. When you go into the science of this stuff and try to understand how cell receptors modulate, meaning change form, change number, change their hair color, in response to when you do an opiate, you know, something like a benzodiazepine, Valium or Klonopin or any of these things, or when you go on an SSRI, and how your body adapts to these things, and then what happens when you go off these, good luck. There is no research. The research stinks. No one's concerned about withdrawal. The money went into, does the drug work? Will it kill you? What can it do? And can we sell it? That is where the money went. Just understand that God, in the end, has the last say. And understand that you have mechanisms in yourself to re-regulate, to set yourself back to the right balance in your chemistry. But you're going to go through it. Understand that. If you're listening to the show today and you've been on, whether it's painkillers, whether it's the SSRIs, whatever it is, understand you're on a merry-go-round. You're on a roller coaster ride. You really got to find God in that experience. It's all I'm going to tell you today. There, picture number seven. Now let's keep going here. Look at picture number nine. You love that picture. That is such a groovy picture, isn't it? Picture says 1,000 words. Get to the website. Look at that, the opiate receptor in green, the endorphin. Looks like outer space, doesn't it? Just beautiful stuff. Now, Schumann resonance. I'm going to give you a model here. The Schumann resonance. The discharge from the electrical level of the high ionosphere. The current up there creates a frequency. It creates an electrical pulse called the Schumann resonance. Now, picture number 12, that's the telluric currents. In the core of the Earth, there's liquid metal. It's spinning around at about 10,000 miles an hour. It's giving off a magnetic field. That magnetic field and the magnetic field of the sky, the two electromagnetic fields are what we, Homo sapien, is sandwiched between. And your job is to use the opiate to connect the telluric currents of the Earth to the Schumann waves of the sky. You are a conduit for that. If God has a physiology, I just defined it. if there is a physiology to the God experience, you believe in God. Well, Jesus believed in God, that he was God on the cross. He came back 3 days later as human again. That's a belief system. That is an effective belief system. If there was a physiology to that, I'll tell you, you know, I love when I make statements like that. You know, usually when I make a statement like that, somebody sends something in about the show. And it'll be something like, you know, I listened to the whole show, but let me correct you about the Jesus thing. I don't know what to say to that. It's like, you listen to stuff like this? Oh, yeah, yeah, the I, you got to dot that I, cross that T, because that's what's important. Get this concept. You are a conduit for the telluric ground current and the Schumann resonance. Get that concept. Because that's what the opiate experience is about, to create that coherence between the earth and the sky. Now, we can leave that as poetry. We can leave that as religion. We can leave that as some tune in a song, or you can understand that science, it's right there in front of you. All you have to do is open yourself to it. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're out of sorts, if you're lost in the labyrinth of hell, if you're completely confused, if you think you've tried everything and you still haven't gotten everywhere, health problems of all concerns. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.